हरिः
The Lord in the Heart. Pratigya. The Pratigya, solemn statement of purpose, of this chapter entitled The Lord in the Heart is directly given by Srila Prabhupada in his purport to verse 6. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the all-pervading, omnipresent Supersoul. In verse 6, by the use of the words Bhagavan Anta, Ananta, the eternal, unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Sukadeva Goswami means, without a doubt, that Sri Krishna himself is the Lord of the Heart. As Karshneyas, the devotees of Krishna, Sukadeva and Pariket know that the Purusha avatars who create, maintain, and destroy the material world are Krishna's four-armed swamps of forms. The Lord declares to Arjuna, 10:42, Ekam Shena Stito Jagat, by a single fragment of myself, I maintain all the material universes. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the second chapter, the spiritual body of the Lord, practice of dharana of the perfected yogi, the two paths for merging the Lord for those who desire to give up their bodies, dharana on visible material objects, which infer the presence of the Lord, and dharana on Bhagavan as described. Well, I kind of get the connections that the Srila Srila means because he's a Karshneya. If he wasn't a Karshneya, it was only devoted to Vishnu, then it'd only be Srila.
Yeah, could be.
Like that. Ready? He's not revealing.
No.
It's too confidential. Right?
Yeah, okay. Later.
Yes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami now gives a direct example of a person who purified his intelligence through meditation upon the universal form, that of Sri Brahmadev. Unfortunately, less intelligent people are bewildered by the Vedic Shabda, and thus become enamored by the various temporal features of the universe. So in other words, you're meditating upon the Lord as how he's expanded as the universe. And so then you're comparing everything back to the Lord. It, one, it gives you the, exposure to the Lord as a person, right? Because we're talking about the impersonal aspect here. And so then, understanding everything's connected back to the Lord, then one, being that, making that comparison, you start to see the personal, so that you can start to accept that transcendence has form. Right? Because what we're used to, form is here, but then the mistake is made by the impersonalist that this form is illusion. Right? When in actuality the form is real, what we appreciate about it, and not seeing what we appreciate in connection with the Lord, that's the illusion. Right? Because we think that this is for me to enjoy rather than this is Krishna. Right? So, making this switch, then one has to be very careful one doesn't become distracted by the universe itself. Right? In other words, once one is involved in a skill, skill means you have to deal with the material energy. Right? Right? The forms and the activities that create the transformation desired. Right? Because you make an activity so that there's a transformation in the material energy to what you want it to be. Right? The place is looking shabby, you make an endeavor, make it look nice. Or it's dirty, you make it clean. Right? Or it's uncooked, you make it cooked. Does that make sense? But if in the process one becomes enamored by the skill itself and the forms that the skill works with, then again we're distracted. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why we have to be very careful. It's like we're doing kirtan, but we're getting distracted about the fancy kartal beats or the mridanga beats or the particular melody or, you know, some other aspect of it. Does that make sense? So the cooking, we're getting enamored, distracted by the pots or the method that we're cutting the vegetables. Or does that make sense? So that's what we have to be very careful of. Right? Otherwise, then, you know, it's just another trick of Maya, right? So you're making the endeavor to connect it to the Lord, but then she'll get you more absorbed in the item.
Yes.
Right? Because you know, instead of moving from jnani to bhakti, you move from jnan to karma. Right? She's clever.
Yeah.
Like that. You're moving, but you know, you can't tell which, due to ignorance, you can't tell which way you're going. I'm going this way. Why is everything going?
Yeah. It's everything getting smaller.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, less intelligent people are bewildered by the Vedic Shabda and thus become enamored by the various temporal features of the universe. Because it's very amazing, the universe. And so, because it's Krishna. So it's amazing. The difficulty comes up is that this is very small amazing. This is what you can say, a millionth of a millionth of amazing. You know? Like that.
That's pretty good.
Yes, that's on a good day. Yes.
The Prabhupada is giving an analogy about this. It's when you're diseased.
About this?
About this element. This universe is very limited.
Constantly. Okay.
When you're diseased, you can only eat a very small variety of food to get cured.
Okay, yes.
Right, so when you're cured, then you can have the full range of food. So here you're all diseased, so it's very...
Okay, so we can only handle those little bit. Yeah, because anything's a little bit more than people get overly excited. You know, like that. Sukadev makes clear that the eternal truth of the Lord's form can only be understood from the position of renunciation of such illusory sense objects. You can't be attached to them and appreciate the form of the Lord, because that what you're attached to is part of the form of the Lord. And so if you're attached to it separate from the form of the Lord, how will you know the form of the Lord? Right? Very practical. That's the nice thing about the philosophy. It's very direct. You know, people say, oh, well, it's all this renunciation. No, but the point is if you're attached, why are you attached? Gopis are attached to Krishna, not a problem. Mother Yashoda is attached to Krishna, not a problem. We're attached to the material energy, a bit of a problem, right? Why? Because that material energy we're attached to is actually Krishna, but we're thinking it's not. So how will we know the form of the Lord, His name, form, qualities, pastimes, if Him we're attached to as not Him? You know what I'm saying? So that's the idea. If you're as you're detached, then you know. That's why when you advance in devotional service, then knowledge and vairagya come automatically. You know who the Lord is, who you are, what the material world is, and you're detached from trying to control and enjoy the material energy. Right? So those are just natural side things. They're not. We don't have to endeavor separately. Do we see how it just happens automatically? Because attachment to something means you're not connecting it to the Lord. You're connecting things to the Lord means you're not attached to it. Right? It's not. It's simultaneously mystical and not. It's mystical but scientific.
That's mystical. But Does humility come automatically also?
Does humility come automatically also? If you're actually, you know, sincerely contemplating this, then yes, it would naturally come. But one should be aware of these things.
Is it the difference between jnana and vijnana, the humility, or?
Yeah, on one level you could say.
It seems that.
But the see, because pride, it's not that pride, it's not that there's not a reason to be proud. It means the gopis, when they're thinking they're the most fortunate girls in the cosmos, right? Not universe, cosmos. They're right. Right? Because if you compare these girls to any other girls in cosmos, they just don't compare, right? Like that. So they are factually right. But the point is Krishna is everything. He's not proud of that because he is everything. What's there to be? It's just normal. So if you want to have a relationship with the Lord, then you can't be proud. He's not proud of his position as God. Why should we be proud of our position? You know what I'm saying? So one can say, no, but sometimes he manifests pride. But that's just the taste rasa. You know, that youthful, how you say?
Chivalry?
No, they just that chivalry there in Dhirodatta. But I mean saying is that you just have the... Well, it means, of course, if you apply what's the masculine and feminine chivalry in Dhirodatta, then naturally there's that arrogance of youth.
Yeah.
But that's just the taste. So it's only the taste, the response, right? So there's the masculine arrogance of youth, then you get the feminine arrogance of youth to match that. Right? So then it becomes, it's rasa. So it's not that he's proud, because he is who he is. Right? Yes.
On the point you mentioned that if you get attached to the material energy, but you can't really be attached to Krishna.
Yes.
We see that sometimes a leader in his own, in his area, as he contemplates, he tends to get the feeling that it's his rather than...
Yes. No, but the point is it's his service and others shouldn't bother and all that, but it's not that Krishna won't bother because ultimately it's his. So that aspect then will give trouble. That they're contemplating how to make the zone or the area or the project better. That they're getting credit for. But the idea that it's mine and that attachment from that side, then Krishna always has his methods. Right? Like that. So that's the difficulty. So difficulties that we run into that affect us, that's because of our attachment. Now our idea is bad things are happening to me and they're affecting me. So then spiritual means no bad things to happen, therefore I'm not affected. But actually spiritual means bad things happen, I'm not affected. Right? Good things happen, I'm not affected. Right? So it's different. The concept is different. So we're having to get used to this new idea of religion, right? Religion is not profit-based. There's always, everything that you do, there's always profit. That's the whole point, because why would there be profit? If you think about it, if according to the physicists, then energy only transforms, right? So then how would there be profit? You know what I'm saying? How could you get more from something that is the same? On one level, the amount of work you put in is the amount of what we call the profit, but it's equal to the work. Right? So this idea we do nothing and we'll get something, that's mode of ignorance. But the point is, Krishna is always expanding. His energies are always expanding. So even though they're transforming, there's more and more power to it. So therefore, the concept of profit can be there. Right? Does that make sense? But whatever you want, you have to put in the equal effort. You know, nothing comes cheaply. Yes.
Maharaj, it's about listening on the attachment part. So, for example, if I'm working on a particular project, okay, in the service of Krishna, it is one service of Prabhupada, and because I'm working on it for many months, I've become attached to that particular work, our consciousness is into it. And now because of some reason, you know, the project has been cancelled, or if I have been removed from the project, then like we still have attachment to it, you know, you feel hurt. Now this has to be, I suppose, spiritual attachment, but still it is affecting me in one way.
No, because it's all Krishna's, so what does it matter? If the idea is to please Krishna, why does it have to be that particular project?
Because we are involved in it and
No, but what is involved? But everything's Krishna, we're involved in it. Are you attracted? You walk down that little path back to the temple. Now, is it your path? You know? Others are walking on the path, you know. Hey, they threw something on the path. You know what I'm saying? You're breathing the air. You know, you're not specifically attached to it, you know. You know, kind of breathe inside so the air doesn't go out. You know, you can't keep your own, keep the air, you know. Yeah, this is my air. You're not catching. Okay. Do you catch?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Just want to make sure it's not inherent. Okay? See, is that you're doing it for Krishna, but the attachment to it that bothers you, that's the part that's not connected to Krishna, because you think it's yours. You understand? So you have to discriminate between what is spiritual about your attachment and what's not. Right? Remember, Yudhishthira Maharaj had a kingdom as his service to Krishna. Not even a kingdom, an empire. And he lost that. Do we ever notice him getting upset about it? One word about, you know, is there one, what do you call it? Not vocative, is where he is addressing a person. Or it can also be generic, kind of like golly gee whiz.
Vocation?
No. But there's it's one of the nine yeah. cases.
Yeah, that's directed at a person.
Yeah, but there's one that's just like, you know, that just means it's just words that you mean. Okay, whatever. I can't remember. So in other words, he didn't say one. He wasn't disturbed. So now he does his service in the forest instead of in a palace. Okay? So the point is we're attached to serving Krishna. Right? Because it's about Krishna. It's not about our particular attachment to a particular area. Right? It means we may have our preference how to serve. But in the material world, that preference is based on the conditioning. The spiritual world is based on your spiritual nature. So the quality of it's better. Right? Does that make sense? Our conditioning here is manifest because of our particular attachment to the material world. Well, the spiritual nature is manifest because of our particular attachment to Krishna. So the mechanics of dealing with the Lord's energy and getting results to be enjoyed are the same between the two worlds. The difference is what's the basis of it? The one is, the basis is it's Krishna's, the other, the basis is it's mine. Because if it wasn't yours, then we're not attached to it. Yes.
In other words, the result belongs to Krishna.
Yes, the result belongs to Krishna. But the forms that you deal with in applying the skill, the forms, the skill, all that belongs to Krishna because it's his energy. Right? Energy is forms and action and results. So that's Krishna's energy. So he can't be attached to that either. It means it's useful. I mean, in other words, we want to serve Krishna. Here's an area we can serve in and we can get nice results, so naturally why one wouldn't endeavor in those areas? Why endeavor in an area that we are not going to get a whole lot of results? Right? Because the sincerity is there, nice. So, but if you can get results, you have sincerity plus results. Right? So even though the sincerity is the most important element, then you have two things. So that means it's better. But if you're not getting results, at least that endeavor is there. So that's Krishna's pleased by that. But still, we make the endeavor that it's that attitude plus, you know, something observable. Does that make sense? Yeah. So just those areas we're successful, and that's where we work in. The success also, you have to look at the bigger picture of others are also pleased, right? Because otherwise the project manager thinks he's doing great. Everybody else doesn't. Otherwise, why is he removed? Right? So that means that there's something going on there that maybe that they have the skills, not the attitude, or the attitude, not the skills, or maybe they have the attitude and skills for dealing with directly the thing, but not for dealing with the people, or that, you know, most of it they can do, but certain parts they can't do, you know, that are considered important by others, like, let's say, accounts, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's always something. Yeah.
Once I was sent out a collection, and I was told, your duty is to try, but the result is up to Krishna.
Yes, of course, that's there.
Right. So that took away the anxiety. You know, it wasn't result oriented.
Yes.
It was just I sincerely try, and whatever happens, happens.
Right. But it's not that. In that, one has to be careful that one doesn't not make further effort if one sees opportunity to get result. Because otherwise you say, I just do whatever I do, and then the results are up to Krishna. So it doesn't really matter if I apply my intelligence to understand the skill better. Right? So the point is that endeavoring to the best of your ability, if your ability is not going to get results in that field, it doesn't matter because you've done your best. But what one has to avoid is that I am not necessarily trying my best because the results are up to Krishna. Because that's the counter to that, is that someone may go out and just try. There's an opportunity, but I'm not going to make an over-endeavor because the results up to Krishna anyway. You know, so if that's the case, then Krishna can get the result without us. So then why am I out there in the first place? You know, therefore that's the counter to that understanding. So one always has to be very careful. That's why in the devotional process, then everything's very fine. Because the point is there is only the results Krishna's, but you have to make an endeavor for results to be obtained. And to make an endeavor properly, you have to have focus. So what happens is if the result's up to Krishna, then I don't focus, or I don't make a nice endeavor. But you have to focus and make the endeavor, do your best, then whatever results, that's up to Krishna. Then it works, then it's a very good combination. Like that. So we're trying hard, but we're not in anxiety because, you know, we're not the doers. Yes.
It seems from Srimad Bhagavatam that we have different examples of different devotees, how they react to situations, like very attached and less attached. And as you mentioned, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he wasn't attached at all. But there is place for, you know, Kanishtha Madhya, Manuta Madhya Karas,
yes,
and how they deal with it.
Yes.
So Dhruva Maharaj, he was really attached. He said to Narada Muni in the first place, he said, sorry, it's nice instructions, but I can't follow those because, you know, my heart is burning.
Mm.
And so then we can see that there is a, you know, there's a natural progression of how we react to the certain situation according to the level of consciousness.
Yes. 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 Dhruva Maharaj, that example, then we see that Dhruva Maharaj is making the endeavor.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's been connected that what he wants as a result, he can get by this process.
Right?
Because the point being is that whatever you endeavor, in other words, it doesn't change our philosophy. What we're dealing with Sakam Karma Yoga, you know, as a neophyte, it's not that the process is different. Our attitude is different. So even we're making, the materialist is making an endeavor, the result's given by Krishna anyway.
Yeah.
So then, if you really want to get good results, why beat around the bush? You go to where that what do you call it? Result can be obtained.
Yeah.
Right? So then, you know, it's just like natural. If you, you can go, you have to go to some, you know, little office guy or some secretary, but you could go to the big guy. People would generally choose the big guy, right? Because it's more efficient, you get it done like that. You know, there's more feeling of accomplishment or social status because you dealt with the higher level. So all it is that even you want something grossly materialistic, still it's only Krishna who gives it. So if you want it, then you have to approach him. So then when that connection's made, then the process still remains. So when we talk about that this karma mistra bhakti is not ideal, we're talking about the mixed part. We're not talking about the connection to Krishna. Right? Because sometimes devotees make the mistake is that, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. I'm approaching Krishna for materialistic reasons, and that's not good because it's not pure devotional service. Right? So now what's the conclusion? I don't approach Krishna.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
Yeah. Instead of, okay, if I'm not supposed to approach Krishna for materialistic things, why don't I give up the materialistic attachment? Or if I can't give it up, then what to do? Because that's the way the process works anyway. So I have to approach Krishna. It's embarrassing, but that still there's no other process. So what we're talking about is that the mixed element doesn't enhance the relationship with the Lord. That's the problem.
Oh, wow.
We come back to this point again. The sun that comes up comes through those those two columns. Yeah. We see it going in and out. So yeah, we're coming up to the equinox. So we have our own Stonehenge here. Brick Henge.
Okay. Set it up, line it up. Yeah.
Yes.
Stuff is coming in.
There you go. How did they do it?
Yes. Yeah, the answers. Yeah. So then, so the problem with the mixed devotional service is not that as a process it's useless for elevating ourselves. It gets in the way of the nice development of the rasa with Krishna, the pure rasa, that pure endeavor, that pure devotional aspect, that exchange. So sometimes we think, oh, that if it's mixed, then it's useless. You know, it's the natural, the Hollywood, perspective. You know, so, but the point is no. This is where you're at. This is what you do. You know, just like let's say taking very nasty tasting medicines is not ideal. You know, I mean, someone who is in perfect health and everything wouldn't take these. So then, why should I take? But we're not in perfect health. So we take them because that's the stage we're at. So that's the whole point, is that knowing that, that gets better. Because generally, I mean, what an approach many times is done is, okay, if it's not ideal, and then I don't want to be in an unideal situation because I should be in a more ideal situation, which is natural, right? One should try to. But that ideal situation is created by knowing what is your situation. In other words, if I know I'm at this point in spiritual development, so I have these attachments and these things which are not connected to Krishna, and I know what processes I'm using, so then that's actually an ideal situation because I know what is not ideal about my situation. Then I can work with it and naturally it will progress. But the other alternative, sometimes popularly used, is I ignore it and just say, oh, it's fine. You know, we're not fanatic, or, well, you know, we don't worry about it, or, you know, why be critical, or, don't be fault-finding, or like that. But the difficulty is, yes, it's a general attitude. We don't look at things in a negative way, but we also look at things in a realistic way. So we have to be able to balance that realism with that positive attitude. That's what's generally difficult. Generally, the realistic attitude is highly critical, you know, and the positive attitude is much of the time very impractical. But the Vedic, you know, means naturally. It's always this combination of opposites, because that's how the cosmos works. It's a combination of opposite. God and his energies, they're opposite. Right? Like that. One's dependent, one's independent. You know, they're opposite of each other. So then, that when we can deal with that, that's reality, that gives us good results. Right? So then, Dhruva Maharaj, understanding his position, he has that attachment, but you're going to get that, fulfill that attachment by approaching the Lord. At the same time as one understands that that also remove these attachments and establish pure devotional service, then one continues with the process and it works. So that's what's nice about Bhagavatam. It shows everybody on every level, you know, whatever their attachment. You know, Narad Muni, his attachment was to, you know, hanging out with ladies, right? And we're not talking about one lady, two ladies. We're talking about 50. We're not talking about there's a crowd of 50 women and you're trying to interact and get some attention here from one or two, you know, not working out so good. You know, we're talking about full attention of 50 ladies at once, right? You know, that's, you know, we don't, nobody does that, right? Even, what's the Italian guy? You know?
Casanova,
yes. So, you know, even you hear of, you know, okay, he's dealt with thousands of ladies, but never all at once. Right? You know, so here it's, you know, this is good. He's good. So that's moving on, as you know, as the maid, son of the maidservant, and then he moves on from there. So it works. Yes.
So the whole karma kanda section of the Vedas is based on a mixed situation of people in the lower worlds that have material that are driven by material.
Well, karma and jnana, both of them.
So if you do this, you get this. That's
yes.
Kind of the process. So
yes.
Krishna, he often fulfills desires, in Dhruva's one case, in such a way that the person, the actor, is seeking some material end, is purified of that desire.
Yes. Prabhupada mentions that. I think it's in Nectar Devotion. He says that the process is Krishna fulfills the desire in such a way that he removes it also. You know, because the point is there's the general point that we have to agree to it going away. Right? Otherwise, then where's the commitment? Right? So Krishna can take it away, but we have to be agreeable to it. So he has to do it in such a way that we lose interest. Like that. Or you know, either lose interest, gain a higher taste, you know, something happens that we lose. Because only losing interest is a temporary situation, which can be used to advantage, as Narad Muni points out when he's discussing Varnashram. So the application of, or let's say, the lack of application of Varnashram by the mleches then gives rise to their becoming totally frustrated with material energy. That moment of frustration opens the window that they could take up spiritual life, which is the purpose of practicing the Varnashram in the first place. So now if they take that up with the same enthusiasm that they were going after the materialism, then they'll get purified and get nicely situated. If they don't, then the natural thing is as the desire comes back up again, because when you're away from it, then you start to look at things not so bad, right? When you're there, then it's bad, and immediately it's bad, but as time goes, you start to look at it in a better light, you know, like, you know, times are crazy when you're a kid, and as adults, you sit around laughing about those situations. You know, the most embarrassing situation in high school, now you laugh about it, like that. Like that. I'm not sure if they're laughing about Auschwitz yet, but no. Okay, take a little longer. Okay. So just time does that, right? So the living entity, then in applying, how do we get into this? It was so subtle it probably didn't even get revealed. Oh, yeah, about the mlechas and yavanas here. So then the difficulty is they don't make that full endeavor. That's the problem. Said, as much as you are endeavoring for material life, you should be endeavoring for spiritual life. One, that's just a generic, but especially when you're using the mlecha process, then you really need to make that endeavor, because then that same endeavor made in spiritual is going to give you way more result than the material. Right, you'll change the whole view and consciousness. Then when we get purified, then Varnashram will be something that you can follow, or you'll have gone back to Godhead, you know, despite that anyway. So it'll all work out. So the karma, the three sections of the Vedas, the karma, jnana, and upasana, then they can either be used not in connection with Krishna, or partially in connection with Krishna, or in devotion. So that's the thing, is we have to apply it in devotion, then the actual purpose. Because we're going to use the endeavors of karma, we're going to use the knowledge of, the jnana, and we're going to use the method, where you're going to use the worship of upasana. Yes?
Isn't it the nature of the mind to suppress the negative experiences, the suffering, the pain, and accentuate the positive?
No, it's the nature of the soul. Because the mind is dead matter. But coming from goodness, it'll have that tendency in its mechanisms. But the soul is the one who's ananda. Right? So there is no such thing as, you know, nirananda is not part of the soul's kind of like a portfolio. Right? It just doesn't fit. So that perspective is not there. Therefore, they're always looking for happiness. Right? Even the most negative person, if they came across the situation that made them happy, they would drop their negativeness, you know, quite quickly. So it's the soul looks like that. But the mind, coming, being generated from goodness, goodness has a tendency to be, because that's where happiness is generated. So therefore, the mind will tend in that direction, and the soul doesn't mind that because that's the preference.
Like what you were saying before, time passes and the person is still attached to something, adjusts, makes a mental adjustment so that they don't learn the lesson.
That's there. Yeah. But the example we gave before was that they may have learned the lesson, but now they're just looking at it from a different perspective. You know, times are crazy, or it was wild, it was fun, or it was insane, or. But what we were talking, oh, that was this latter one. The earlier one that we were talking about is what you were saying, yes. Is that you just make an adjustment so everything's fine. You know? Does that make sense? You know, kids, the lady's still talking to, you know, to her son and saying, get this and that, but he's not there in the house. He moved out, you know, 5 years before. He's married now. He has a kid. And she's still thinking he's a little boy and, you know, everything like that. You know, so, yeah, stuff like that.
I was on the phone with my mother once, and I was, you know, in my 40s or 50s. Mm-hmm. And my father's in another room, and he's asking my mother who's on the phone. And without thinking, she just stops and she goes, it's Jackie. I haven't been called Jackie since I was like 5 years old or 7 years old.
No, you have been. You just haven't heard it. This is one thing to understand. In the mother's mind, you never get bigger than Jackie. That's all. Just, you know, because as you're growing, the clothes get bigger, so they keep getting bigger. That's all. It doesn't matter. You know, you like to play with things, so now you play with, you know, your papers down at the law firm. You know, I mean, you do something, you know, like that. It's still Jackie. Yeah, well, that's just the way it works. Okay, Adhyaya Prakashika. In the second chapter, the spiritual body of the... We were reading this.
Yes.
There are about 4 lines in the next paragraph.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. Sukadev makes clear that the eternal truth of the Lord's form can only be understood from the position of renunciation of such illusory sense objects. Also, eternal truth. We may have truth, but we haven't really tapped into that full, like he was mentioning before in the last chapter, that with the understanding of this universal form, then you can actually taste the eternal aspect. Right? So that's the point, is that one switching from the temporary to the eternal. By service and worship, one is so fixed in renunciation. One so fixed in renunciation can realize the form of Bhagavan as the Supersoul within one's own heart. Because Supersoul, he only, as is mentioned, is only a millionth portion, a fragment of myself I maintain. So that means Paramatma is only needing to manifest a millionth of a millionth portion of the potency. Because when they talk about a millionth of a millionth, they're talking about the whole material creation, not just one universe, or just not just us. You know, we're looking at it a millionth of a millionth. Okay, my scene's a millionth of a millionth. No, ours is, you know, you can keep going from millionth of a millionth. Millionth of a millionth is the whole thing, the whole Mahatattva. Okay. So then it doesn't take much, because what are you having to deal with? The guy wants an ice cream. I mean, how much of God's energy does it take to arrange that, you know, he gets up, stands up, puts his hand in his pocket, see if he has any change, walks over to the ice cream guy, plunks the change on the counter, you know, holds the ice cream cone, you know, is able to eat it, you know, without making too much of a mess. Yeah, how much energy does that take? You understand? Krishna is making, you know, universes float. You know, we're enamored by worlds float. Universes float. Like that. He breathes, they go in. He breathes out, they come out. I mean, he's like that. So it doesn't take a whole lot for that. So that's the point, is he doesn't have to manifest much. But the devotee, by devotional service, he starts to see Bhagavan as the super soul. And then he's dealing with the full form of the Lord. Like, because Paramatma means he's reciprocating just with your desires. Right? But Bhagavan means now it's a relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
With your world being such an insignificant portion of the Lord's manifest energy, why is it called Ekapad?
Ekapad. Because it's only one quarter. Like that. It means the whole cosmos is divided into four parts. So three, so that's the tripada. And this is the ekapada. Because pada is, it means foot, so there's 4 feet. You know, so there's four parts, four quarters.
Is that in relation to size, or?
Basically. You know, in other words, three quarters of the whole cosmic manifestation is the spiritual world, and then one quarter is the material. So both are expanding unlimitedly, but it's still, as it expands, still ends up only as a quarter and three quarters. There he is perceived by the bhakti yogi in his transcendental form of Lord Janardana, who displays for his devotees his beautiful smiling face and his magnanimous pastimes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami sets forth two different ways of reaching the spiritual sky and thereby getting emancipation from the material bondage. Namely, one, the direct process of reaching the kingdom of God, and two, the indirect process of ascending the higher planets of the universe until the spiritual sky is achieved. Because right, one is you're directly dealing with the Lord as his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. The other is you're dealing with the cosmic manifestation as the form of the Lord. Right, and connecting that. So since we're used to only perceiving this, and we don't have a concept that the Lord is a person, and we can deal with that. Right? Just like we may say, no, but we're devotees. What about the statement, bad things are happening to me. How can this happen in Krishna consciousness? Or things like certain aspects of the material that can't be connected to the Lord. Certain shastras can't be connected. Does that make sense? So these are all that same misgiving.
Yes.
Is that God's not everything. So because of that, then those areas that we have misgiving, we're not able to see the Bhagavan aspect. So then we can use the indirect aspect to break that. Now, if we can fully absorb ourselves in the Bhagavan aspect, the indirect is not very important. So in other words, the first one, just devotional service, that's the primary. If there's a need, then we use the secondary of this indirect process. But if there's no need, there's no, one doesn't have to have it. Like if the main plan is working, there's no need of a backup plan. But having a backup plan is always good. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
When the Virat form is described as an imaginary form of the Lord, is it imaginary in the sense that it's a personal form, whereas in reality it's an impersonal form?
Basically. And also it's not the Lord as Bhagavan. It's the Lord in that impersonal form as Virat. So that's the difference. So that's why then by making the endeavor to know the Lord as a person, then the Lord will reveal himself. So then that bridge can be crossed. But it's not that this process in itself will reveal Lord. No, it's that he's given this process, you follow it, he'll reveal himself. That's how everything works. It's not that I made this endeavor, I got the results. No, it's that you follow the laws that Krishna gives, because you follow them, therefore Krishna being pleased, you get the results. That's why that element of daiva. Is that without the Lord's mercy, nothing will happen. Like that. So, in other words, you're just doing what it is advised. So, as Prabhu mentioned before, is that he has the proper service attitude, and he's following authority. So if there's any weakness there, if he doesn't have the ability to collect, that's not his problem, it's the authority's problem. He's doing his service. He's absorbed. Now the results, then we'll see what Krishna arranges. You know, because it could be. No skill, he's just walking down the street, some, you know, nicely dressed old lady comes up and hands him a little envelope and says, you know, I've been watching you, you know, this is for you. You know, like that, and then you put it in your pocket and like that, and you go back to the temple and you dump everything out and pull it out, and there's $1 million check. You know, so then, you know, it may not be that there were great skills, but because of the proper attitude, Krishna arranged. Yes.
No, I think these two aspects, two process. The first one is the direct one is to relation with Bhagavan.
Yes.
And second one is with Brahman and Paramatma.
Yes, it means in other words a material manifestation, because as we see is that the universal form is both that aspect of Garbhadakshay and Kirudakshay.
Yes.
Because in other words, the aspects of it are Garbhadakshay, but the operation of it is Kirudakshay.
Yes.
I mean, your connection with it and interaction with the universal form is through Kirudaksha Krishna. Because Paramatma is sanctioning, you are working with it. But potency and all that, why you would want to work with it, because it's coming from Garbhadaksha. Right? Because there's attraction. But then there's dealing with it through Paramatma, who's Aniruddha. Right? So unless there's Aniruddha and Prajumna, then there won't be activity. So thinking and feeling have to be there. Then there's willing. Right? So thinking about it, we become attracted. Right? That feeling means we're attached. Right? Then we make the endeavor. So that's why also the goal is, that goal element of the goal is there. Right? So just like you were saying before, is that, okay, the goal is given by, results are given by Krishna, so then one could look at it by, okay, yes, therefore I want to get a nice goal result for Krishna, because the result's for Krishna, but it's given by Krishna. So I want to make a very good endeavor so that the best possible result is gained. Right? Because you're following Krishna's rules, he being pleased, he'll do this. And because his devotees, many times it's beyond what would be the normal results gained by that particular endeavor. You know what I'm saying? 1 million people walk into the little waiting room, you know, up to the secretary at the little waiting room, you know, to see the Beatles. And unless you're a producer, a big musician, a friend of a musician, or someone like that, you don't see them. Devotees go there and, you know, ask about it, sit down, and then, you know, George walks out and goes, "Hey, where have you gotten the guys been? I've been looking for you guys all over the place." Yeah. Right? So, you know, there's not one other hippie on the planet that that ever happened to. Right? You know? So that's the whole point. It's that Krishna gives beyond. That's why it's better to worry about him. If it's like, I'm doing this, then you're only going to get the results of what you did. That's the problem. while if I'm only an instrument in a bigger picture, right? In other words, if the spoon has to do the cooking, how much cooking is going to get done? Not a lot. But if the spoon assists the person, a lot gets done. That's the difference. Because if we say, no, I'm doing this, and Krishna will say, yeah, go ahead. You know, so that's why you're going along, everything's going amazing. Wow, I'm good. And then yeah. Things fall apart. Yeah. So we're not so good. That's the
Let's yes. talk about the vision.
The vision.
We're listening a lot about the vision.
Yes.
The vision, is that sambandha?
Yes, you could say sambandha. Because then you see everything in proper perspective, because sambandha means all the details of the field, the attitude, the activity, and the results that can be gained. So then, yes, we're seeing it instead of from I'm the controller and enjoyer to I'm the servant, and Krishna is the enjoyer. Yes?
Can we say that it also is what we want to see it?
The call.
The goal.
The goal, yes.
Because that's how we want to see.
But as long as we connect it to Krishna, it'll still work.
No, see, Prabhu said sambandha.
What we're looking at is the vision is going to come how we look at things. So it's going to be the sambandha jnana. Now, if that attitude is right, then when we actually make the endeavor and get the result, then we will use it for Krishna because we have the proper perspective. Right? Otherwise, if we don't have the proper perspective, maybe we've agreed to, you know, do it for Krishna, but when we get the results, it's kind of like, hey, this is good. Does that make sense? So in other words, all we're distinguishing between is the understanding of Abhideya and Prayojana that Sambandha Jnana includes, and the actual endeavor and results. Does that make sense? So in other words, Sambandha Jnana includes the knowledge of or appreciation of Abhideya and Prayojana. But the actual practical endeavor, that's Abhideya. And the actual result gained by that experience, that's Prayojana. Does that sound?
Maharaj?
Yes.
So before we want to do some project, it's always good before try to meditate how we're going to connect it to Krishna and to see this aspect first.
Yes. Because the point is something connected to Krishna is valuable. You know, even if it's something very minor, it's connected. But something very great, if it's not connected to Krishna, is still useless. You know what I'm saying? Having an actual drop of water is much more important than having a whole, you know, monstrous, you know, cool, refreshing lake that's a mirage. You know, you actually get more benefit. You know, you could say, well, what's one drop? Still, is one drop better than nothing? And then, yes, why one drop? Make the proper endeavor and make it into more. That make sense? Yes. So connecting Krishna becomes the most important element. You do that, then it works. That's why this indirect process is still useful. Because it's the working principle is this connection to Krishna. It's not the intellectualizing, all those things. Those are just the mechanics of using it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. These are just superior mechanics. If you use these other mechanics, the modern academic or scientific mechanics, they're less efficient because they don't have a broad enough base of knowledge to function from. Right? But that you're thinking and all that, that's just the way it is. It's not that the academic method is a, you're using the intelligence or the mind or ego differently than anybody else does. You just have a different basis of samskaras and identity. But the mind, intelligence still does the same thing. It's a machine. You know what I'm saying? Does that make that sense? You know, so it's not different. You know, it's just like you give a kid a pair of scissors, and you give, you know, an adult doing some, you know, project a pair of scissors. The scissors work in exactly the same fashion, but the whole view of it, how they're applying it, what efficiency they're getting, that's the difference. You know, that's why if somebody is intelligent, if they surrender to Krishna, then it works very nicely. Because then you're adding a one in front of zeros. Right? But if you have zero zeros, then there's not a, you know, you have a one, so it's good. What we're talking about is you have a whole bunch of zeros, then if you put a one in front of that, then it gets even better.
Yes. So now, the lack of connection with Krishna is the only defect of the material world.
Yes, that's the only defect. That's why now and again, not regularly, the so-called material world. Because all it is just an inferior manifestation of God's kingdom. So it's still the kingdom of God, though in, you know, how is it? What's the term? Albeit?
Albeit, yeah.
How do you say it?
Some people say albeit, some people say albeit.
Albeit. But nobody says albeit. Well, I just read it. I just see it. I haven't heard anyone say it.
Albeit.
As a phrase. Albeit.
Albeit is an expression.
Albeit.
Means you're determined. Right? Isn't that what it means? Albeit?
Albeit. No, this is albeit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The B-I-E-T, I think.
B-E-I-T.
B-E-I-T. It means, you know, kind of like however or like that, you know.
Even though this,
there's still that's there.
It's like albeit.
Albeit. But which dictionary? Is it Oxford or it's a Webster?
iPhone.
Oh, iPhone. So it'll be American. Yeah, so I'm just saying, it's always interesting the different. Yeah. There's the general American way of saying it, then there's the British way of saying it, and then there's how the academics actually say it.
There's a few opinions on this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is one of those words, right?
Because the meaning is the same.
Yes, of course, yes. I guess that's why I stick to the shorter words, right?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, its connection to the Lord is what makes it useful. The difficulty being is that it's being indirect, it has the aspect of getting distracted. Because direct is less distraction. Indirect is more chance of distraction. But at the same time, because one's distracted, that's why you use the indirect method. But you wouldn't use it if you can directly connect, you wouldn't use the indirect. You only use the indirect because there's an indirect aspect in your life in devotional service. Right? This attachment to something of your possession or an activity or a result. Therefore, the indirect method is useful. Right? But if in thinking about it, no, this is Krishna's, I should just do it for Krishna, or it should be like that, and one can cross that, then there's no need of using. It's when that doesn't work, then it's a matter of, well, what is it that we're attracted by? That's because it's connected to Krishna. It's Krishna's potency. It's working because of Krishna's potency. The forms and activities are there because of the manifestations of his internal potency reflected in the external potency that attain that quality that I'm desiring. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. I've noticed as we've gotten into these chapters, we say these very long, extended sentences that use the same words over and over again in many different contexts. Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that work? Yeah. Okay. So, Srila Sukadev presents these two paths exactly according to the version of the Vedas. Because, right? other than that, there's no point, no need to make up one's own method. One applies the method in one's own life. That's the time, place, and circumstance. Time, place, and circumstance doesn't mean you change the method. You apply the method into the situation you're in. Does that make sense? Yeah. The chapter ends with Sukadeva Goswami's personal recommendation of the bhakti process, particularly the hearing, chanting, and remembrance of the glories of the Lord. Verse 36, Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyo, Bhagaman, Narinam. Right, so this is one of those famous Bhagavatam verses. Right? So here is that he shows both processes, that they will both get you to the same place, because what will happen if you follow the one, this indirect, if you follow the direct into the proper association of devotees, then you'll be situated in bhakti. Right? If you follow the indirect in the association of devotees, it will bring you to that liberated platform that you will have no interest in the material, therefore naturally you will be attracted by the superior transcendental position of bhakti. Otherwise, why explain, put so much effort on how Sukadeva Goswami, being on the transcendental platform, is attracted by the form of Bhagavan? Because the jiva is in the neutral position. And right now we're suffering. So much of the time we think neutrality would be great. So to address that point, therefore it's said that those on the liberated platform are attracted by the higher aspect of transcendence or Bhagavan. So that we move through. So the indirect will get you to the liberated platform. Because it's connected to the Lord, there'll be that momentum to continue. But you still have to have that association. Right? Whoever is in Gokula has gotten there by remembering the Lord. We're talking about from here. Okay? Now that they're there, but you still have to continue the process of associating with Vaishnavas and hearing and chanting and remembering. Otherwise, one will just stay at that neutral state. Does that make sense? Because bhava means it's in between the material and the spiritual. But because of that essential point of rati, then one progresses. But if the rati is not cultivated, then one stays more towards that neutral state. Right? It's a positive, on the positive side of neutral, but it's still in that neutral state. Does that make sense?
So Maharaj, the force which would push someone to move is because he's shifted his samadhi. Now he understands himself as a jiva, a servant of Krishna.
Yes.
And then there is the touch of inspiration coming from Prajnanala. So that's, I'll reach my eternal position. That's what I gain from taking the process.
Like that, yes. And that, but at the same time, is all gain will start from there because it's the process of self-realization. But then it will be, but myself doesn't have much meaning without the other person.
Yes, that is the meaning.
That's what you mean. Yes, right? That will drive you forward into prema. But that comes by association. That's why association is the most important element, right? Because here, there's hearing, chanting, and remembrance. But that's only after establishing Vaishnava association. And that hearing, chanting, remembering is according to Shastra. It's not that as you move, then you adjust them. No, it's a logical sequence. So you've established the importance of the Vedas. You've established what they're establishing. What is the processes. Then what's the highest process of bhakti? Now bhakti, that's functioning because of association. Right? And in that association, then you're going to hear. Right, and from hearing, then chanting, remembering, these come up. And so that's your best position. But it's not that as we move through, we drop off the others. That's how the ascending process works. We build the foundation, and you cover it up. Then you just see the building. So only the engineer is talking about the amazing foundation. Right? Like that. Nobody else. You know, it's just like he's built the foundation, but before he fills it in, he wants the person to come and see it before. The person just wants to see the finished building, but the engineer always wants you to see that. Why? Because it's so amazing. Right? But nobody cares. In the ascending process, as soon as you move to the next level, you drop what's before, just like the Mayavadis. When they get up to the liberated platform, you don't need the guru anymore. So that's the difficulty. Well, the descending then you wouldn't want the rope to not be connected at the top. You would definitely want it connected like that. So that's the whole point. Is that okay? Okay, Shloka Anusharanam, summary verses. Verses 1 to 14, meditation on the Lord in the heart. 15 to 21, immediate process of becoming liberated at the time of death. Verses 22 to 31, gradual process of liberation. And 32 to 37, Sukadeva Goswami recommends Bhakti Yoga. Chatur Shloki are 29, right? Oh, that's a different chapter. Yeah. Jumping ahead. Yeah, no, it's not this chapter. I was thinking, where did it fit in here? It's not this chapter. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami. Okay. Okay, 32 to 37, Sukadeva Goswami recommends Bhakti Yoga. Verses 1 to 14, meditation on the Lord in the heart. Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives the example of Lord Brahma. He must be so attractive.
Yes.
Always attracting all the different words.
Yes.
My God, something is always connected. Gives the example of Lord Brahma, who purifies his intelligence through meditation upon the universal form. Right? Here's the head of our sampradaya. He does it. So it can't not be part of the process.
No.
I mean, it's just like, if you can surrender to Krishna immediately, then there's no need of following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. But if you can't surrender in a moment, then you follow the regulations of sadhana bhakti. Right? So it's just how it is. Yes.
Sometimes it's very discouraging because the examples of such elevated persons have so many.
Got confused by the heads, or no, do you call him a person or a people? He's his own community.
So I read where they were trying to find.
Okay.
You know, out of respect. So okay. Where are we in line now? Bottom, really bottom. So instead of
no, but who are we? And so, is there any difference between the souls? Other than, I mean, they're individual, but I'm saying in the nature of the soul? Size, one soul.
Difference in the size?
No. The quality of the soul, is it different from one soul to the next?
Shouldn't be.
Means, are they all eternal? Are they all actually on the liberated platform? Are they all more powerful than the sun? Right? So then, what's the problem?
The problem that he's Lord Brahma, we're here. And
so, but what's Lord Brahma?
The creator?
No. When we say, this is Lord Brahma, what are we identifying as Lord Brahma? Okay, so then there's no difference in quality between him as a soul and you as a soul. So what's the problem?
Then what's the use of the example?
Because how you say? One is learning to get from the conditioned state to the transcendental. So here's an example of how someone did it. That make sense?
How he did it, it makes sense.
Yes, so all we have to do is do what he did. Right? Go out and get yourself a very large lotus stem, you know, climb up and down, you know, sit on the lotus flower on the top, hope that it doesn't close, hope there's no bee inside. See, that's the advantage, because it's before creation, so there are no bees there.
Turn off the lights.
Yeah, turn off the lights, yes. See, the thing is we're looking at it that he's Brahma, you know, and we're so insignificant. We're looking at it from the conditioning. But the point is the soul is not the conditioning.
Let's say my point was that he purified his conditioning, and we have to do the same.
Yes, but
conditioning is very different. The souls maybe.
But the point is who is operating it, the conditioning or the soul?
Be
should be. So then you can get the same results. right? And you save yourself. Now you'll notice Lord Brahma, he has four heads, but his wife only has one. Could you imagine having four heads of hair to comb? Now that would be tough. That would be a problem.
Brahma, his function is the creation of the cosmic
manifestation. The cosmic manifestation.
Yes. So he's born in darkness, and then he hears tapa, and then he goes into the 100 celestial years of austerity. And his meditation on the cosmic form is like, how did that go? You know, because he has to create it all again.
No, but he the point is he creates according to the universal form. So by meditation on the universal form, we see it elevates him to such a position. So that's the point that's being made, is by absorbing yourself in the universal form, then one will be greatly benefited. But more efficient and more beneficial is the direct process of bhakti yoga. But the point is the indirect process works very well also.
It's a longer road.
It's a longer road, yes. That's why we don't prefer it, but it's popular.
Due to attachment.
Yes, that's all. If there's no attachment, there's no need for it. You know, or if there's no attachment but there's no personal concept, it's useful also. In other words, if there's a distraction by karma or jnana, the universal form is useful. If there's no distraction by either of these, then it's not so important. But it's not that there's an aversion for it, because it is Krishna, so it's not that it's a problem. You know, so if those parts of the Bhagavatam that are discussing this, then it's also about Krishna. So it's not that the gopis, you know, don't come to the discourses on Bhagavatam when it's second canto, you know, like that. It's all about Krishna, so it's all nice. Okay.
In the first sentence, it's described that Lord Brahma purified his intelligence by this meditation.
Yes.
And then in the second sentence, it's saying the less intelligent people, they're the ones who haven't done this purification.
Yes, it is less intelligent, bewildered by the Shabda and become enamored by the various temporal features of the universe. So they're less intelligent doesn't mean that you... Because here when Vedas talk about less intelligent, they're not talking about the particular volume or the mechanical efficiency of the the element of intellect that an individual may have. It's not used in the proper way. It's just like, to give an example. Let me say, something is being engaged for a particular purpose, but we get so distracted by the mechanics of what we're using, we don't get that purpose, because we're just interacting with what it is. We're enamored by it. So we may not use it properly. You know, it's just like someone has, a nice collection of knives, very nice knives, very rare knives, special, high grade. You know, if anybody who knew knives knew you had one of those, oh, wow, that's an amazing... But it's not being used. So in other words, the point of a knife is to use it for knife things. Does that make sense? That's intelligent. Less intelligent is to have a knife and it's not for knife things. Does that make sense? You know, unless the consideration is it's a conversation piece. So in other words, it's something to start conversations or that. Then it's doing its purpose. But the point is something must be obtaining its actual purpose. That's intelligent. Is that intelligent? Yes. Sugadeva makes clear that the eternal truth of the Lord's form can only be understood from the position of renunciation of such illusory sense objects. But that doesn't mean that you don't use it. So renunciation means an attitude, not dealing with it. Right? We generally take renunciation means I don't deal with it. Why? Because of the element of karma or jnana. Right? A renunciation on the platform of karma, if I'm not, you know, means I'm not supposed to deal with, I'm not supposed to get the result of that, therefore I don't make the endeavor. And jnana, I don't want the result, therefore I don't endeavor. Yes?
So the more appropriate word being detachment.
Detachment. Yes, like that. But at the same time, it is renunciation because the result is given up. Because we're attached to the forms. Because these forms give us results. So there is the element of renunciation. But the same operation is detachment. Getting the results is renunciation. But now if we can do the whole thing from detachment, that's better. Because then it never becomes ours in the first place to give up. Like that, that's that. The higher. Yeah. Okay. Quote, Srila Sukadeva Goswami begins this chapter by relating to... on both sides. Right? This chapter by relating to Maharaj Parikit, the example of Bhishma Brahmadev, the demigod of creation. He meditated upon the Virat Roop to dispel the fog of forgetfulness of his duty to the Lord, fog of forgetfulness, that's good, as the Rajaguna avatar of his creative impetus. His mind purified by contemplating the Virat, Brahma once again identified himself with the Lord's original power to create. So now he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, and now he understands as a servant then what he's supposed to do. So he's identifying himself with the Lord's creative potency, right? The original. Like, so that's, where's the original potency? That's in the universal form. Right? That's in Vairaja. Right? So he's born from this Vairaja, or Virat. Right? So then, yeah.
Yes. When it says Brahma once again identified himself, he did it before?
Either it's been forgotten, or he's been looking at it from some other perspective. Right? So he knows something's to be done, but how to do that. So then he understands, you know, that he's supposed to do these things, but how does he create? How is he going to do this? Because he's not technically the creator. He's only the engineer. Right? So he has to work with engineers on their own. Aren't going to make anything. It means, like, if you ask an engineer to design something, it's generally going to be very bad. Right? It means it won't be nice to look at or anything like that. And it'll be so functional, no one can use it. You know? Is that right?
So,
yes. Like, yes.
Once you mentioned in the class, in the Sunday class, that if you, you gave the example of olive oil and a baby.
Right.
Before you can actually appreciate the substance, there must be the need to understand that what it can produce.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's olive oil. by from the baby's perspective.
Yes, so he's just leaking from out. So there's no what. So there must be an intention. So the enjoying mood must come before the creation. Would that be connected to this, that Lord Brahma is going to create, but he must have an impetus before?
Yes. Yes. There would be, it means you have that aspect of, if you want to do something, then you actually have to have the knowledge and understanding of it. Now, for him to be able to be involved in everything, in the creation of everything in the universe, he has to actually understand how it all connects together, how it works, where its origin. Because, see, with us, we do things, and according to our desire and our karma, then the Paramatma is responding. So we really don't know if we're going to get a result or not. That's the whole thing. It means if we're regularly getting a result, we become confident that I can do this, but then when it doesn't work, then we'll say, oh, that was just a little mistake here, and we make an adjustment. But it wasn't necessarily a mistake. It was just karma's running out, or like that. And then we see after many times, then it's kind of like we have to rethink ourselves. Our identity changes, because I'm not the doer. I'm not the guy who has that skill. You know? And you're kind of hoping you can ride on, I'm the guy who used to have the skill. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the creation and the disillusion, and then the creation again, I think I've read somewhere in Prabhupada's purports where the super soul reminds the living entity, like where you left off, or, you know. Yeah. And so, seems like the topmost jiva, Brahma, you know, after all that austerity, he's also, it's being revealed by super soul, to the agency of super soul, how that's, how yes. he's supposed to do everything.
Yes. Because the point is, jivas are jivas. Mm-hmm. The form that they're manifesting here, that's manifest through his external potency. It's still his potency. So if Brahma's greater, that's because he is connected with more of Krishna's potency. Right? A greater volume or greater variety of Krishna potency. It's not that the soul's any different. That's why, you know, we don't make that, but we don't make the distinctions in the Varnashram system of better or worse. We just make it according to how it functions. Brahmas are the head because you have to have the knowledge first. Then if you don't have influence, what's the meaning of getting something done? Then when you apply the getting done, then you get results. Right? Like that. Then there's the art of doing that. So that's why there's an order that way. But then people become enamored by it and then think the Brahmins are therefore, you know, because I'm a Brahmin, I'm superior. That's being enamored by the Vedic version. It's not meant to be like that. That's just a general materialistic view. Does that make sense? So it's not that Brahma is better as a soul. He's pious, yes, but the point is unless that piety is connected to the Lord, it's just a matter of time before Brahma becomes something, you know, quite insignificant. Because every jiva in the material world started off as Brahma. And so, because there's unlimited living entities, means there's a lot of Brahmas that didn't become devotional. You know, that's why it's special that ours is. And that's why the Acharyas mention that, you know, I would rather be born as a bug in the house of a Vaishnav than to be born as Lord Brahma and not be a devotee. Like that. So then,
born as an insect in the house of a devotee, chances are you get prasadam.
Get prasadam, you'll hear the chanting of the holy name, you know, like that. You get to crawl across the Lord's feet, you know, like that. Watch the Arctic, yeah.
He's burning the holy ground.
Yeah.
And the last thing you might experience is the dust of the lotus feet.
Yes. Yes. So many advantages. Brahma's too big, no one can step on it. His mind purified by contemplating the Virat, because the Lord being Shuddhasattva, then naturally the mind, which is based, basically generated from Sattva, will become purified. Because right? There's no passion or ignorance. Right? Meditating on the world, there's always a mix of passion and ignorance. But when you meditate on the world in connection with the Lord, then one's purified. Brahma once again identified himself with the Lord's original power to create. His vision and mystic trance of the universal form became the archetype of his own secondary creation. Thus, Brahma was able to reconstruct the universe. Because he's only reconstructing it. It's being made just as it was made before. So not that there's a difference. But they're always the same. That's the chewing, the chew.
Yes. So, Mark,
yes.
This reconstruction doesn't mean in one day of Brahma like it was previously. It means at the start of one time.
Yes, well, here it's talking about that, but it actually happens that way anyway. That every morning of Brahma, he has to recreate the whole thing. Point is he's the secondary creator. That's his job. So what do you do when you get up in the morning? Right? You go to work. You know. So then that's what he does. You know. So yeah. So he does it every day. Right? Otherwise, he'd be the guy who did do the creation. Right? Yeah. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, the conditioned soul, even in the position of Brahma, forgets this by the influence of illusory. The conditioned soul, even in the position of Brahma, forgets this by the influence of illusory, material energy generated out of false egoism. One can counteract such false egoism by invoking God consciousness. Liberation means getting out of the slumber of forgetfulness and becoming situated in the real loving service of the Lord, as exemplified in the case of Brahma. The service of Brahma is the sample of service in liberation distinguished from the so-called altruistic services full of mistakes and forgetfulness. Because, in other words, he's benefiting by creating everything and doing his service in connection with the Lord. So he's benefiting everybody. But to do altruistic work not connected with the Lord, then it's full of mistakes. There's always some problem. Right? That it's always going to have a weakness. Liberation is never inaction, but service without human mistakes. Right, so on the liberated platform, then they're beyond the mistakes. So that's the thing. Human mistakes are the difficulty. Okay, 7:30. So we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki,
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandai.